Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Austin Peterson, and I am your host here for the Freedom Report. Thank you very much for listening. If you enjoy the show today, do me a favor, go to iTunes and subscribe. Leave us a good review. 5 stars would help us go a long way in spreading the message of economic freedom and personal liberty. And as always, thanks for listening. All right, so today's show topic, what should the Republican Party be doing now that we've won the election? I say we've, but I guess I'm not really a Republican. I've decided to stay out of the Republican Party until I feel that they've started to push back in the right direction, and it seems like they are starting to head that way. I did read an article this morning that sort of accused Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell of not going far enough to try to get rid of Obamacare. A lot of people are saying, oh, we need to have a vote to completely abolish Obamacare. And I think that's all well and good. This morning I saw that someone had written to me on my Facebook page, and they were sort of complaining because it appears like Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell aren't making it a big priority to try and repeal Obamacare. And there's a good reason for that. The good reason for that is because they don't actually have the votes necessary in order to do it. Now, Senator Ted Cruz from Texas has said that he wants to have a vote, and I certainly support that. I think the problem is that how long do you kind of spin your wheels doing the same thing and getting nowhere? Really, the only way that Obamacare is going to get repealed is when a Republican president and a Republican Congress controls the government. So, and even then, who knows if it's going to be repealed? If it's going to be someone like Rick Santorum as President of the United States, maybe it won't get repealed. Who knows? But the specific complaint came from a man on my Facebook page by the name of Woody Long, and he sent me an article from the website from one Pat Dollard, who I'm just going to go on the record right now and say is a nut. He's just kind of a creepy psychopath who's sort of been kicked out of the conservative community for being way too out there. This is the guy that said we need to murder Muslims in the streets. Take everything this guy says with a grain of salt because he's obviously Looney Tunes. And the people who follow him generally are Looney Tunes as well. You know, like crazy attracts crazy. And I'm not saying that just to demean their character. I really truly mean they are nuts. Not just to sort of because they come out on my page attacking me, but that too. So anyways, the article is from patdollard.com and it says, Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell speak out against repealing Obamacare. Well, that's a BS headline if I've ever heard one before. But let me just kind of read to you what the byline here says. This is from Darby Crash, whoever the hell that is. McConnell and Rand Paul will guarantee that there is no repeal of Obamacare. They both believe there are too many things in Obamacare that voters like, and taking away those away from them is bad for the GOP in 2016. So that's all Darby Crash had to write there, and he's obviously a big moron. This came out on November 3rd, 2014. This article was pushed over to me this morning, but it's really just an excerpt from BuzzFeed, an article that came out on November 3rd of 2014. So why don't we just read the article from BuzzFeed? It's kind of short, and then we'll talk about it. A potential Republican-controlled Senate should focus more on legislation it will be able to pass instead of throwing all its energy into a wholesale repeal of Obamacare, both Senators Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell agreed to on Monday. Now, again, this is before the Republicans actually did take the control of the Senate. Ted Cruz told the Washington Post on Sunday that if the Republicans win the Senate, they should pursue every means possible to repeal Obamacare, including exploiting various parliamentary procedures to avoid a Democratic filibuster. We ought to concentrate just on winning the election, Paul Haas said about Cruz's comments. There are a lot of things I want to do, and everybody sort of has their own agenda. I think the most important things we can do that has bipartisan support is to lower the tax on American money overseas and try to invite it home, Paul said. Barbara Boxer supports it, and I support it. It's going to have to be things we can agree to, Paul said. I'm not saying we don't have a vote on repealing Obamacare. We should have a vote. I'm not sure how far that goes, but we should have a vote on it. But I also want to pass some stuff, and one of the things I think would help the country would be to bring all that American profit home and create jobs. Now, see here, Rand Paul is being very pragmatic, as he usually is. And not that I don't support Senator Ted Cruz in his quest to get rid of Obamacare, but really, if Congress controls the purse, why couldn't they just defund it in many ways? And they certainly could do that, but again, the problem is that when it comes to Obamacare, if you're going to take a vote on repeal, on full repeal, President Obama is just going to veto that, and they don't have enough votes, the Republicans won't have enough votes to override a presidential veto. So what Pat Dollard's website over here is saying is categorically untrue. Both Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul would likely vote to repeal Obamacare, but they just know that if they spend all their time doing this, it's not going to make a big difference. Now, we should compare this to the time when Senator Ted Cruz shut down the government. Now, all of us libertarians and some anarchists, we were all like, yay, Ted Cruz, he's standing firm on his principles, his convictions, and he's filibustering, and he's trying to shut down Obamacare. Never mind the fact that his filibuster was not an actual filibuster so much as it was just sort of a show on the floor. But again, I support him. I'm just saying that like it wasn't actually a filibuster because he wasn't doing like what Rand Paul did with his drone filibuster where he was actually blocking someone's nomination. So Senator Ted Cruz, you know, God bless him. I think that it's important again to have a symbolic vote. But again, how much time and energy are you going to spend doing something that you know is just symbolic? And so I think Rand and Mitch are just trying to sort of say, hey, let's work on things that matter. And I think that that's important. Now, one of the things that's an interesting side note, we won't spend too much time on this, is the fact that Ted Cruz has declined to promise to back McConnell for the Republican leader in the Senate. Now, Mitch McConnell said, no, it doesn't bother me. Rand Paul has said unequivocally he would absolutely support Mitch McConnell. Of course, he campaigned for him hard, and McConnell did win, and now he will be the Senate Majority Leader. And now McConnell has endorsed Rand for President of the United States in 2016. I wonder if that doesn't rankle Ted Cruz a bit if he's considering running. Again, God bless you, Ted, and I say that sincerely because, again, you've been really great in a lot of ways, and we love seeing you getting out there and tangle with the Democrats. But again, let's not take down Rand Paul and say, oh, and I'm not saying Ted Cruz is taking down Rand Paul, and I'm saying that a lot of libertarians or I guess just butthurt people on the internet or Facebook, on my Facebook pages, are saying, oh, Austin, Rand and Mitch, they don't want to repeal Obamacare, and you're so full of it. You're so full of it. It's not even funny. Like, your eyes are brown. That's how full of it you are. But, you know, here's what I really want to talk about today. And here's what I think is here are the most important issues we should be focused on. And guess who brings them up? That genius, that sly guy, George F. Will. Now, he wrote this on November 5th. At the Washington Post. I've actually been saving this article to talk to you guys about because I was waiting for some more news to sort of come out and to be able to suss out after the election cycle what it is we should be talking about. And it looks like George F. Will has given us a sort of policy prescription, and it's his opinion. He says these are the first steps Republicans should take. And he wrote this on November 5th. And I'm going to read to you from this, and we can discuss these issues piece by piece. Unlike the dog that chased the car until, to its consternation, he caught it, Republicans know what to do with what they have caught. Having completed their capture of control of the legislative branch, they should start with the following six measures concerning practical governance and constitutional equilibrium. The first point. Abolish the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. This creature of the labyrinthine Dodd-Frank law violates John Locke's dictum. The legislative cannot transfer the power of making laws to any other hands. The power of the legislative is only to make laws and not to make legislators. The CFPB, the Protection Bureau, is empowered to, quote, declare with no legislative guidance or institutional inhibitions that certain business practices are, quote, abusive. It also embodies progressivism's authoritarianism by being unlike any entity Congress has created since 1789, untethered from all oversight mechanisms. Its funding, quote, determined by the director, comes from the Federal Reserve. Yeah, and so, yeah, absolutely, we need to take a look at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And you know who it was that is behind this bureau. It's Elizabeth Warren, who is the most tyrannical, one of the most tyrannical authoritarian nanny staters that we have in Congress. And the thing is that, you know, a lot of these do-gooding liberals, they're sort of the, what I like to call humanitarians with guillotines, right? And so they create these bureaus, these institutions, as a means of furthering the greater good, whatever that is. And what they're trying to do is things like, oh, well, let's just stop, you know, credit card companies from charging exorbitant interest rates, or let's crack down on the borrow money, those roadside places where you can borrow $500 and then you have to pay like $10,000 in interest and stuff. Well, that's what the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was supposed to come down on. But what's interesting about what George Will is pointing out here is when he brings up John Locke, he says that the legislative branch, they cannot transfer the power of making laws to any other hands. Well, guess what? The Congress has been doing that for a long time. I mean, the whole reason that the EPA, the Environmental Protection Administration, was created was because it was assumed that Congress was too stupid to make laws and rules and regulations concerning matters of scientific importance. And, you know, that may be true, but I don't think it gives I don't think that handing out that kind of responsibility is really the answer to the problem. I mean, you know, again, if you're dealing with complex issues such as interest rates and finance and things like that, you know, obviously people in Congress aren't going to be smart enough to handle these kinds of things. But that's no excuse. Just because Congress are a bunch of morons, it doesn't mean that we can hand over power to a bunch of unelected bureaucrats. And I believe that Will is correct when he calls this authoritarianism, but he says it's unlike any entity Congress has created since 1789. That's true, but it's not true. Anyways, let's move on. So he wants to repeal the Independent Payment Advisory Board. What the heck is that? This expression of the progressive mind is an artifact of the Affordable Care Act and may be the most anti-constitutional measure ever enacted. It certainly violates the first words of the first section of the first article of the Constitution. All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress. The board's purported function is to achieve the act's purpose of cost containment by reducing Medicare spending. So when the board's 15 presidential appointees make what the Affordable Care Act calls a, quote, legislative proposal, which limits reimbursements to doctors, the proposal automatically becomes law unless Congress passes a similar measure cutting Medicare spending. Unbelievable. Under this constitutional travesty, an executive branch agency makes laws unless the legislative branch enacts alternative means of achieving the executive agency's aim. The Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, stipulates that no measure for the abolition of the board can be introduced before 2017 or after February 1st, 2017, and must be enacted by August 15 of that year. So one Congress presumed to bind all subsequent Congresses in order to achieve progressivism's consistent aim, abolishing limited government by emancipating presidents from restraint by the separation of powers. This impertinence by the 111th Congress requires a firm rebuke by the 114th. And that's very important because one of the most important parts of our Constitution is that no laws can bind a future Congress. You can't say, oh, well, we're going to pass a law like we did with Obamacare, and you can't change these laws until this future date or whatever it is, until 2017. And so I think George F. Will has pointed out something here that's very important. It gets at the heart, it strikes at the heart of our system of checks and balances. And the 114th Congress should absolutely move to repeal. These are the things that Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell, I think, should be focusing on when it comes to getting an agenda done in the next 2 years. You know, we've talked about what can the Republicans do in the next 2 years. I think that was a question that was asked. I was on the Sun News Network a couple of weeks ago, or a week or so ago, right after the elections, to respond. And they said, what do you think that the Republicans can do to show that they're worthy of winning the White House in 2016? Well, getting things like this done are going to be at the top of the list, in my opinion. Let's move on. George F. Will says we need to repeal the Affordable Care Act's tax on medical devices. This $29 billion blow to an industry that provides more than 400,000 jobs is levied not on firms' profits, but on gross revenues, okay? So the difference is profits is what you get net, but gross revenues, it's basically a sort of a tax on your gross revenue, on everything you made. And even, you know, it isn't even after taxes or all that. And it comes on top of the federal corporate income tax. 29% was what we have in this country, plus state and local taxes. And so George F. Will says that enough Democrats support this that a presidential veto could theoretically be overridden. I don't know why the president wants to push this so hard. I mean, this seems like the most simple thing you could do. Get rid of this tax. But again, the government's not going to want to get rid of $29 billion in revenue, that's for sure. And this is a simple one, of course. Improve energy, economic, and environmental conditions. Take that. Energy, economic, and environmental conditions. By authorizing construction of the Keystone XL pipeline. The pipeline would reduce the risk of spills by reducing the transportation of oil in railroad tankers. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what I focus on. Again, you know, we were talking on Fox Business last week. I was with John Stossel, and we were debating, you know, what Republicans could do in order to sort of provide our safety and security, energy security. I guess John had pointed out a quote by Ron Paul talking about how we're going to have more wars because Republicans are taking control of the Congress. I sort of disagreed with the great Dr. Paul, someone who I greatly admire and respect. But I think that the things like the Keystone Pipeline and things like fracking are going to contribute to not just our energy security, but our national security in the future. And from what George F. Will has pulled out here, it looks as if having a pipeline is actually much safer than transportation of oil in railroad tankers, which makes perfect sense. So that's another thing the Republicans need to push for. Again, the president has to sign it, but the Congress needs to pressure the president to make sure that gets done. Because, again, you know, I talk to the Canadians all the time in Toronto, and they're always saying, hey, you know, what's going on with the Keystone Pipeline? We thought we had a deal here with the United States. They've got all these tar sands, fresh oil from the tar sands. They want to ship it to the United States, and now they're talking about sending the pipeline over to the West Coast and then sending it off to China. So we've got to put pressure on the president to make sure that we get this pipeline approved. This really should be a key priority. Now, the liberals are already standing up and freaking out and saying, we've got to stop this pipeline. You know, they hate oil, they hate natural gas. And we're going to have a fight geared up for ourselves because, you know, the president doesn't want to tick off his base by signing this. And I don't know why he just won't do it. I mean, it's just seems so easy. His approval ratings are in the dumps. You'd think he would do one thing that the American people want him to do. And no, instead, what is he trying to do right now? He's trying to regulate the internet like a public utility. He wants to pass net neutrality. He wants the government to control the internet and tell the ISPs what they can and can't do. Never mind the fact that the government already controls the internet by the fact that they grant these ISPs monopoly. And so now they're saying, like all the liberals and the Democrats and this moron, whoever runs the oatmeal cartoon who wrote to Ted Cruz, you know, they're all like, all it does is make the system fair. Well, you know what? You're asking the government who broke the system to fix the system. The system done me wrong, and now the system has to fix it. Well, if the system is screwed up, quit buying into the system, you stupid liberal Democrats, you freaking morons. I'm so tired of your economic illiteracy. Will you please just pick up a copy of Henry Hazlitt, Economics in One Lesson, and maybe you'll get a clue about how economics works. Supply and demand, bros. Simple as that. Now, sorry, I'm going to get back to my lofty discussion of George F. Will's Washington Post article here. All right, so he says we need to mandate completion of the nuclear waste repository in Nevada's Yucca Mountain. The signature achievement of Harry Reid's waning career has been blocking this project, on which approximately $15 billion has been spent. So, rather than nuclear waste being safely stored in the mountain's 40 miles of tunnels 1,000 feet underground atop 1,000 feet of rock, more than 160 million Americans live within 75 miles of one or more of the 121 locations where 70,000 tons of waste are stored. All right. I guess I'm for this. I mean, it sounds great. I'm not an expert on nuclear storage materials because I'm not a scientist. However, I did read a comic book once, and it was pretty cool because it showed that astronauts were taking the nuclear waste and they were just shooting it into the sun. Like, basically what they were doing was taking barrels of nuclear waste and just sending it right in the sun, so it was just basically getting destroyed by the heat of the sun, right? Why don't we just do that? That sounds like a great idea. Why would we want to store nuclear waste on planet Earth when we could send it up into space and we could send it to the sun? Almost spilled my coffee here. Flailing my arms around like a crazy man. I'm just glad there's nobody here to see me. Maybe one of these days I'll actually have my own radio show, ladies and gentlemen. I'll actually not be just a guy sitting here in my boxers in the morning talking to you on my Yeti stereo microphone or whatever. And I'll actually have a studio and people will be able to watch me as I do this. You know, I'm actually considering starting to do video podcasts a little bit more often. Right now I only do it when I have a guest or whatever. But usually this is just me sitting here in the morning reading the news, giving my opinions and chatting about it. You know what I really miss? I used to have a colleague, Ian, and he was fantastic. He would, you know, Ian Hewitt, he went to law school, unfortunately, but he was really great to have bouncing back and forth on these issues. All right, so here's another thing, and George F. Will is, you know, 10 times smarter than myself and everybody in the room, but he says we need to pass the regulations from the executive in need of scrutiny. Okay, so this is the RAINS Act. So it would require any regulation with at least $100 million annual impact on the economy, and there are approximately 200 of them coming down the pipe. They would have to be approved without amendments by a joint resolution of Congress and signed by the president. In effect, major agency rules would become legislative proposals with fast-track privileges. By requiring complicity in especially heavy federal burdens, RAINS is an ingredient in the recipe for resuscitating Congress, which has been far too eager to cede legislative responsibilities to the executive branch. Again, I'm not an economic guru here, but so basically what they're doing is any bill with like $100 million of impact on the economy would have, you couldn't just, you know, pass something like that with a bunch of amendments attached to it and, you know, pass these huge spending bills and have all this stuff inside of it and you don't know what it is. It's basically, it's supposed to be reining in the executive branch. And George F. Will goes on and says, such measures may be too granular. You're probably right. All this stuff is very confusing, George, even to a guy who's in the news all the time like me and actually reads the substance of these. But he says that this may be too granular to satisfy the grandiose aspirations of conservatives who aspire to have their way completely while wielding just one branch of government. But if, as is likely, the result of Congress doing these and similar things is a blizzard of presidential vetoes, even this would be constructive. The 2016 election would follow a two-year demonstration of just how reactionary progressivism is in opposing changes to the nation's trajectory. That's interesting. That's usually a conservative's job. Congressional actions provoking executive rejections would frame the argument about progressivism. And, as Margaret Thatcher advised, first you win the argument, then you win the vote. So, very interesting, and I really appreciate George F. Will for going out of his way to pen this very interesting column. It's the kind of thing that, you know, if you start reading it, even if you're a news junkie like me, you'll start to sort of, your eyes will glaze over, and George F. Will, what he said is true. You know, this may be too granular for Congress because they want sweeping reforms. And, you know, like what I was talking about with Ted Cruz earlier. It's like, oh, we must destroy Obamacare with one fell swoop. But everybody forgets that, you know, we don't have a dictatorship yet, thank goodness. We actually have checks and balances. And one branch of government just can't do everything that they want to do. It's if something is going to get done, it's going to require all three branches of government, you know, signing off on it. And I'm not saying that when that happens that it's necessarily a good thing, because a lot of times it's not. Like, you know, when John Roberts, that turncoat, passed Obamacare and brought us the Affordable Care Act, this monstrosity. So, you know, most of the times I would say when they're all working together, it's not to the American people's benefit. But at least the checks and balances of the government are set up in such a way that one party one faction won't be able to control everything. And I suppose that's a good thing, even if I don't like it when I don't get my way. What do you think, ladies and gentlemen? Did you enjoy the podcast today? Do me a favor. Go to iTunes and leave us a good review. Just click that 5-star button, and that helps us to spread the message. I saw somebody did that the other day, and I sincerely appreciate it. If you really enjoy the show, you like Liberty Champion here talking to you every day, you could do me another favor. Just write a good review on iTunes. Just write a good review. What do you think? What do you like about the show? What do you not like? If you're listening this far into the show, then I really want to invite you to send me an email. Talk to me, guys. I love hearing from you. There's a lot going on in the digital world right now. The publishing industry is being shaken up, my industry right now. And there's a lot of scary things happening where Facebook is basically trying to pressure publishers to start publishing content on their platform, which is really dangerous for things like the Libertarian Republic and my sister site, Liberty Viral. Anyways, if you want to support independent journalism, do me a favor, go to thelibertarianrepublic.com, you know, click on an advertisement, or if you have a product, let's say you're a small business owner and you want to advertise that product, we get 30,000 listeners per episode at least of this show, and that's a big audience monthly. So if you want to reach that audience, you can advertise here while you're listening, so other people do too. So why don't you advertise your business or service on the Freedom Report right here? Don't forget, of course, come back every single day. Your home for economic freedom and personal liberty at thelibertarianrepublic.com and our sister site, Liberty Viral.